Why does Hardee's make biscuits from scratch? Because it's what we were born to do. That's right. As newborns, we started making biscuits for our delicious $2 for $4 mix and match. Talk about proud parents.
Hardee's, because it tastes better.
Offer available for a limited time during regular breakfast hours at participating Hardee's restaurants. Price and participation may vary. Tax not included.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, and we are so pleased you are with us. Thanksgiving. What's it all about? Food? Well, we love to eat, and it's traditional, and we love a great spread on Thanksgiving. Sales? Well, yes, if you watch TV, you watch the movie, it's all about selling product, and we spend a great deal of effort going for those big sales on, what do they call it, Black Friday? And then what about God? Well, isn't that truly what Thanksgiving is all about? Interesting. Well, let's get started and continue by welcoming Pastor Charles and having him join us right now. Pastor, how are you this Thanksgiving day?
Quite delightful. I do appreciate it. Although I wondered for just a moment, were you starting to go into meddling? You talked about food and you said you enjoy a good spread. So I have to ask, were you referring to what was on the table or were you referring to your waistline after Thanksgiving meal?
Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, that's not a good Thanksgiving dinner unless you have to loosen your belt. Am I right? Isn't that the way it works?
That's the rumor mill. That's definitely the rumor mill. But over the years, you know, I have known lean Thanksgivings, not necessarily because of the advice of a doctor, but just lean times. I've known healthy ones, but invariably the ones that are healthier, it's really easy to get into the excess. But regardless, you know, the important thing is the focus. So the focus has not even really been the fellowship, although it is sweet. The focus is not the food. The focus is taking the time to simply say, God, thank you, you know, for whatever it is I do have, for the life that I have, for the people I'm able to touch, thank you. That is what makes Thanksgiving special for me. And, you know, there's been many Thanksgivings when I have been by myself. That goes with my personality, I reckon. But, you know, it's just the fact that that's not a bad thing, to spend time alone with God to reflect and give thanks. So for our listeners out there who do find yourself alone, don't think that's a bad thing. You know, I know there are people that, you know, bring all the family together for miles and miles and, you know, add on wings to the house to add the extra tables in, whether they're folding or more structurally sound, you know, and the children spread out. I was even recalling there was a song one today talking about eating chicken necks and wings, and that was, seemed like the food was getting leaner as they moved further and further from the main table. But that, I have to submit, is not exactly what Thanksgiving is about. It's easy to get sidetracked with festivities and such. But, no, and it, food is a part of it. I know singles that get together in groups and Bible study classes, and they have their own special Thanksgiving times and even develop their own traditions over the years. So I think that's interesting. I know of people that meet up at, you know, unique and particular restaurants because that's where they've gone for years, and that's, they've actually had better connections with some of the folks at the next table or two tables over. It's funny, if you're ever at a restaurant that does have like long-term visitors that come on a regular basis, and you'll find that, you know, you'll hear these little shouts across the different tables. I said, well, where you been? Have you been sick, or did you take a trip, or, you know, whoever. So it's sort of an odd situation. There is a lot of things, especially I think when you get into the big cities, that they're very unusual family creations. We typically think of families. We think of mom and dad and children and those really odd children, you know, because statistically there's 2.8 children in a family. I always felt sorry
yes.
for the 0.8. I really felt sorry for me because I was the fourth one, so that was really awkward.
Wow.
Statistically, I don't exist, which could explain so much. But, you know, when you think about the unusual family dynamics that are formed in situations, we have military that are deployed around our world today that are keeping us secure and safe. They have extended families. They would love to be home with their families today, but they put the safety of their families and our families ahead of their own joy. And so they are out there serving. And so they start winding up having sometimes turkey, sometimes rations. And the new family is the person who I'll take point while you have something to eat. And then you relieve me on guard duty later. You know, it's, you know, so whether somebody's out there on patrol or whether somebody's, you know, just keeping the main perimeter safe, family watches out for each other. Maybe that is a better definition of family sometimes. It's the person that you can count on that watches out for you. And the most special organization of that nature would be the local church. Jim, wouldn't you agree that in many ways our local churches become the extended family, since those are the people that actually understand what you're facing and dealing with so often?
You know, Pastor, it's interesting because as you were saying that, I was thinking about the early Jewish families and how important it was to be part of the synagogue, and it was part of their culture, and then to lose the ability to be able to come into the synagogue, to have fellowship, was just paramount, and it was the worst punishment I think a Jewish person could have. And so I think of how today this Thanksgiving is an opportunity that we as a church body, I mean, we spend a great deal of time with this extended family, our church family, and, you know, the Bible teaches us to not forsake the gathering of the church. So I think it is vital. I think the church and Thanksgiving go hand in hand. What are your thoughts?
I really do agree with that. And when I say that, you know, they understand better some of the things we deal with, you know, sometimes if you don't have a family who are people are saved, a lot of times what begins to happen is it's like you sit down, you begin to talk, and there's almost like this unwritten rule that we know you're the religious one in the family, but try to keep it down. You know, let's not go there. You know, they may want you to pray for them and bless the meal, but after that, let's not get carried away. You know,
right.
Like almost as if to say, what has God got to do with Thanksgiving? And our
right.
church family doesn't obsess the way I think a secular person might think. In fact, we are just have this comfort level of we know nobody's going to attack me simply because I believe the Bible today. Nobody's going to jump my case just because I want to give thanks to God for this meal and this fellowship and this time. And so, you know, it's amazing that people who say they don't want to have organized religions usually wind up having a rather disorganized and even aggressive religion, which is don't talk about God to me. And so it's hard to have that loving, kind Thanksgiving spirit if people are going to be animosic to you and ready for a fight. And so,
yeah.
You know, I like the warmth that comes at Thanksgiving. I like the spirit that is there. You know, one of my early childhood memories was just aromas, getting to spend extra time with my mom because she worked hard to support us kids and take care of us. But on Thanksgiving Day, not only was she off, I mean, it's like from early morning, she was cutting and trimming and fixing and slicing and dicing. And I mean, it's like long before we ever sat down to the table, the rooms were just filled with aromas. And
yes.
Didn't matter whether, you know, it was lean times or not, somehow she had this amazing way of making Thanksgiving a very comforting time. But then she took that challenge on every day. You know, I was very fortunate yesterday evening in being able to spend time with some of the favorite best folks on the planet, which are volunteers, people who get out there and make a difference, to reach out and call folks and try to encourage. And in this case, I pulled a couple of them aside and just began to ask him a few questions about Thanksgiving. And so I thought, before we even have our prayer time, let's jump in here with two little quotes I've got here. One from a gentleman named Paul Butera. Paul, by the way, is, I love his occupation, he is a cobbler. And by that, I do not mean something you're going to put a scoop of ice cream on and have at the dinner table. I mean that he is almost in the same business as a pastor because he is a mender of souls. He works on your shoes and boots and such. But no, Paul has got a tremendous heart, no question about it. But I ask him the simple question, what makes Thanksgiving special?
What makes Thanksgiving special to me? Well, for what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's the biggest thing I can think of that I'm thankful for on Thanksgiving.
What do you think about that, Jim?
You just can't argue that. I think he's focused in knowing that Thanksgiving is all about God and how he fulfills every need. And you know, Pastor, I think earlier we were talking about commercials on TV and the sales as a result of these commercials. And we forget that God brings us all of these things to be thankful for, and we have not learned to separate need from want. And, I think people confuse that, and they say, well, you know, I wanted this and I wanted that, and God hasn't answered my prayer. Yes, but you look reasonably healthy. Have you eaten today? It looks like you're dressed. You have clothes. You need clothes. And you still live in a house or in your apartment? Yeah, so you have a shelter. Need, Pastor. Speak about that for a minute. Do you agree we forget the difference in the word need and want?
Absolutely. That is so very true. I've had a couple of those Thanksgivings where, you know, if it wasn't for freezer burn, you wouldn't have had anything to eat. But, you know, you have to realize that we are still more blessed than anybody else. We throw out more food than most of the world could even imagine exists.
Right.
That's shameless in a country where people still struggle. But, you know, the question between need and desire is one that people always get confused on. Because, or that classic phrase, I just have to have it. No, you don't. Not really. You know, this may sound like a bizarre thing, but one of the reasons I love to go to a hotel or a motel is because it makes me realize what I truly need. Now, I know people are confused with that, but what I'm referring to is, you know, in your home, you just got to have these things. And you know, maybe the thing is the latest toy. It might be the latest gadget. It could be something for the computer. It could be something in a piece of technology. But when you're at a hotel or a motel, you pretty much have what you brought with you. Now, there's other provisions there. You're not going to probably starve. There might be a breakfast. There might be a restaurant. But if you really think about it, you got a place to wash up. You got a place to lay down. You got a place to hang your clothes. How much more do you actually start to need? I mean, if you think about it, there's parts of the world that in the hotel room, you're probably going to have TV or an entertainment center of some sort. You may not have that in a lot of parts of the world. So it's amazing, just sort of a check mark to say, what do I really need? You know, the bright side of hurricane season, people don't think about, you know, when all the electricity goes off and you're not going to be watching games, you're going to have to do something that our ancient forefathers did. They talk to each other. You engage in conversation. And so, you know, you're satisfied if you're warm or if you're can, you know, take care of yourself and you have food and you have water. You know, it's really amazing what you actually need versus our want list. Our want list sometimes can get a bit crazed, out of control. And I submit to you that sometimes we say we don't make enough money. It might surprise you how much money you had if we weren't spending it on some of these desires as opposed to, this is what I need, and the rest is abundance. So how will I handle it? Will I be a good steward or not? You know, one of the things I apologize, I don't think I'm being a good steward of our time because we have gone this long and have yet to have prayer with our listeners. So, Jim, let's get on the bandwagon. Let's open with prayer.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, Thanksgiving. What a privilege to give thanks to you, Lord. After all, Father, you created each and every one of us. You created us with a purpose, and you have provided for us. All that we need, the Bible says, you will provide. Father, we bow our heads and our hearts. It's in reverence to you. We are humbling ourselves, Lord, to recognize that you deserve our worship. And that's what we're gathered today for, is worship. We're gathered to be thankful. We're gathered, Father, to sit at your feet and learn from you. Lord, you've given us the Holy Spirit. Once again, thankful for the Holy Spirit. Your actual Spirit indwells us. Lord God, thank you that you do not leave us as orphans on this planet, and to remember that this is temporary. When we step out and accept Jesus Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. We are royalty. And, Father, we recognize how wonderful that is. And it also makes us a bit sad, Lord, that those that are on the periphery, that have not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they're still orphans. They're still out there. And, Father, by your grace, they can come to a saving knowledge today. And, Father, that's the purpose of this program, is to give the information, the good news, the gospel, that Jesus Christ makes it possible for us to be reconciled with you and to spend eternity with you. Father, it's in the name that's above all names that we make this prayer, thankfully, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You touched on something there, so let me ask you, what is the name of the third person of the Godhead?
That would be the Holy Spirit.
Wrong answer. We don't know his name.
We don't know his name. I just wanted to verify that you knew that I remember you teaching us that the Holy Spirit is not an it. That's why I think Sonia is right that I do go off on rabbit trails when I'm asked a question. I was thinking, oh, this is the big test. He's going to see if I remember that it's a person of the Godhead and not an it. So
no, it was
the
test to see if you remembered we don't actually have his name. and by the way, for the folks in Mississippi, just got all excited when you talked about a rabbit trail. The difference is in Mississippi, when they go down the rabbit trail, they come back with a rabbit. So, you know, be remember that. But no.
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving.
We don't know the name of the third person of Godhead, but we know about him. He is holy, separated, because that's what holy means, to be separated for a specific purpose. And he is a spirit, and we who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I mention all that because we know him, even if we don't know his name. And I think Thanksgiving comes to people in a variety of descriptions, but we do know about it, and it's supposed to be a time of thanks. And so let me start by saying, you know, a lot of times married families can become obsessed with getting everybody into the house at the same moment to start at this precise time, everybody be seated at the precise moment, and it can raise the tension level. And people are surprised by that because they're thinking, there are people who think if I just had my family together, how wonderful it would be. We forget sometimes there's a lot of tension there too. So to all the families out there, when you have your Thanksgiving time and you are having your Thanksgiving time, relax, be grateful, calm down, don't obsess on the stuff. Be grateful that you just had this moment. Breathe, relax. Meet some people that you've been so busy with trying to make sure they're comfortable that you really haven't talked to them yet. So spend that time. And if you are single, you know, don't feel like you have missed out. Realize that if you have that extended family we were talking about a little bit earlier, be grateful for that. It is special. It's something that a lot of people don't have. By the same token, if you are actually by yourself Be thankful for the peace. Be thankful for the resource that you have. Be thankful that as born-again believers, we are never truly alone. We have the very presence of God, and you can have and make this Thanksgiving Day more special than many people ever will, because many people are going to get so busy that they're going to leave God out, and that is not a good Thanksgiving. We mentioned a little while ago, we had a little quote from Paul Butera talking about what makes Thanksgiving special. So let me now ask him the simple question of how is he going to spend Thanksgiving?
Well, this particular year, my Sunday school class at my church is having a singles Thanksgiving party, and that's where I'll be. It's a good party.
Jim, does that make for a good party when you're around other Christians, other people who know what you're dealing with, but still have the joy of Christ in their life and eating well, celebrating, and spending fellowship together?
It is a wonderful time to party, and that party is a word that, you know, it's kind of lost its original meaning, but to celebrate and to be with folks that are like-minded is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And I just think of there was a long period of time that I, too, was single, and it seemed like when I was single, everybody, you look for an opportunity to join somebody, you know, and it's rare that you get an invitation. If you, maybe it was just me, but I remember that many times I would spend Thanksgiving alone, and sometimes it would surprise you. I would get an invitation and I would go and have one of the best Thanksgivings. So it's one of those holidays that you just never know how God's going to bless you exactly, but we should always be in the posture of Thanksgiving because you never know what's going to take place.
So very, very true. By the way, as you were saying that, it made me think. My special thank you goes out to the Reinhold family. They were kind enough to call yesterday and invite me for Thanksgiving. They want to make sure I wouldn't be alone. I thought that was very nice. They also know my personality and realize I probably would be. But very, very dear people that I've had the blessing of knowing over some years, and also members of one of the Bible study classes I teach. By the way, I will be, I guess from the world's perspective, alone on Thanksgiving. But again, it's not a bad thing. I have gotten to where I almost like that peace and like that time just to sort of get away from the rush that takes place and do enjoy that time to rest, refresh, to you know, spend some additional time in God's Word and to really count my blessings and to sort of make some fresh plans and strategize and things. I tend to do that for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, and for New Year's. My New Year's Day is probably one of my most focused times because I really sort of, you know, reflect on my personal set of values and goals, the things that I consider important that I want to achieve in my life. And a lot of that has more to do with just how I view life. And some is, you know, goals and objectives, but a lot of it is keeping my what I believe is right and what I believe is wrong separated. But, you know, I spend New Year's Day reflecting on that to try to assess just where am I at and what am I doing that helps to achieve those goals. I like to look at my life calendar and say, all right, am I doing the things that help me reach what I consider important? If we're not careful, a lot of things that we spend a lot of time on can be taking us in directions that are not really important to us. In fact, in some cases, even things we don't want to be involved with. So, you know, that's a nice thing to pull back, have some time where we can reflect and think on these things. So that's important. You know, Jim Covey, another great leader, good family man, and man of prayer. In fact, the three people we've got sound bites from, that's one of their common threads. Paul and Jim and Jerry, good, strong prayer warriors. That's what I particularly know them for and I'm grateful for. So I asked Jim Covey this question. Is Thanksgiving a Christian or a secular holiday? And Jim listened to his answer, and so I guess we can get a second Jim opinion. So here's Jim Covey's response, and then we'll get your response.
Oh, boy. Well, I guess it's probably a combination. There's some secular, of course, mixed in, and the Christian holiday. probably fading a little more in the background, unfortunately. But Christians still remember it and know that it's a time to be thankful and to be mindful of the many blessings. But yeah, the secular side has kind of crept up, and it's probably become more influential than the Christian time of reflection of God's grace.
Interesting. You know, Pastor, you and I love Jim Covey. He is one of the most thoughtful, considerate people, has a great speaking voice. He ought to be on radio. But when you ask Jim a question, you know I'm a cut up and a clown. When you ask Jim, Jim a question, you might as well relax, sit back, because he's going to give you a precise answer. It's going to be thoughtful. He's not capricious. I don't see Jim as just jumping into an answer. So you can always count on his sincerity. But he used the word grateful and thankful. And in just the years of knowing him, he does know how fortunate we are. And, you know, Pastor, just to carry it a little bit further, we're grateful and fortunate that we've got a church, that we've got like-minded people, and that we've been blessed over the years. We have some of the finest facilities. I was walking into our theology class last night. One of the guys that's in my class with me was talking about, he had just gotten back from Bangladesh, and he was talking about how he was witnessing to different people and how many of them actually came to Jesus during that time and actually went into the ocean to be baptized. And he was explaining, he says, we just don't realize what we've got in the, you know, the buildings, the comfort, the air conditioning, the heating, and all of the amenities that we take for granted. So Jim Covey, I just love the way he is so in tune with how fortunate we really are.
That's so true. And, you know, one of the other things I just wanted to touch on, just ran through my memory. You know, we, and during holiday times, we get busy. There's just no question. And, you know, my only disappointment about Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving Eve is probably the last day, excluding pie shops, that you'll be able to get in and out of a store easily. Because, you know, from Thanksgiving Day forward, until post-Christmas, all the stores will be jam-packed. All the parking lots will be jam-packed. So, you
right.
know, we've had our peaceful moment up through here. And so, and I say that because, you know, sometimes we start making our plans and we think, oh, this will be quick. Let me do it this way. Now, the funny thing, yesterday I made a point of leaving the office a little early, maybe by 30 minutes, because I need to pick up a prescription. I knew I'd be coming back working late that evening anyway. So I said, well, I'll do that, and that'll just save some time. So I dash on over. I arrive there only to see the little shades pulled down on the prescription area where you pick up your from the pharmacist.
No.
And it says closed for lunch. And so I managed to arrive 20 minutes before they'd be back from lunch and doing business again. So I said, well, gee, I saved a lot of time. I can sit here now and just wait. And so a little frustration kicks in, and I'm thinking, you know, what a waste. I can't believe this. And then I notice another person coming up, looking rather frustrated, like trying to figure out, well, how do you get into the pharmacist? And I sort of flagged them down and said, oh, no, they're closed down for lunchtime. They're going to reopen in just a few minutes. And they had that same look, you know, of like, oh, great. And so they came over and sat down, and I began to talk with him, and they said that, well, you know, the irony is I thought I'd save some time by swinging over here a little early. I said, exactly, same thing here. And so we began to talk. Now, you could say that, all right, so we both wasted some time, and we don't understand why that happens sometimes. And then I found out in the course of the conversation that this person is, you know, they've moved to Houston like a month or two ago. They have been trying to find a church home, and they've been totally frustrated, just cannot find what for them is the right church. And we began talking and sharing, and I brought up church first, and they said they were just beaming when they found out that I was associated with one. They wanted more information. And so for our 20 minutes while we waited for the place to open up, talked about the things that are here in Texas, ways you can spend the holidays, what will be going on at the church and the different times. So they're coming to our 11:11 service Sunday. They're getting plugged in to our Bible study class, all because somebody messed up and took a break and we arrived there earlier. Bunch of mistakes, right? Or do we look for God in the moment and give thanks that what we thought was a mistake was just God moving his children into the right places at the right time? See, we got to realize and be thankful for what we perceive as mistakes and errors. No, there is not really such a thing if you use them the right way. And for the folks who are sitting there thinking, well, gee, I don't think I'd want to go to church. You all are on. You all just agree with everybody. I need people to have it a little more diverse and I'm ready to have a discussion. Trust me, God is just filling up heaven with sinners who have accepted the grace of God. So we all come from a wild variety of backgrounds. You know, we all start off imperfect. We're not going to be perfect until he's through with us, and he's not through with us yet, okay? So if you're sitting there thinking, I don't want to be around church people because they're all perfect, no, we're just forgiven. And so come in, join us, and find out it's okay. We do have differing opinions. The parts that we agree on is our common bond, and the part we agree on is God's simple plan of salvation. And that's what makes it so special. You know, a question we asked everybody was about how would you be doing Thanksgiving? What are your memories of Thanksgiving? Sort of fun, I asked Jim Covey, how would you describe Thanksgiving?
But, and this is what Thanksgiving is a time to reflect, to be mindful of the blessings God has given us through the year, as individuals, as families, as a community, as a nation, just to remember and be mindful of the many blessings we enjoy as his children.
Isn't that incredible?
That, Jim, what's your thoughts? Yeah.
Well, I just think that reinforces more of what I've said, that he is always spot on. You know, my wife has told me I have a tendency, and you're probably laughing behind my back about this. She says, you know, somebody will ask you a question, and you never really get back to answering their question. You go over here and give an illustration. You say this, you say that. And what might help you is to restate the question. And I've been so mindful of that lately, and I apologize to you and all that that tolerate a roundabout answer. Why can't you just, you know, answer the question, stand up there? Jim does that. And, again, he said the word reflect, and that caught my attention, to reflect. And isn't it amazing what you said earlier, that there are no accidents involving Christians, and that can you imagine that family that you talked to about wanting to get plugged in, they couldn't find a church. It just amazes me. I have this little picture in my mind that that this person was praying and said, Lord, help us find a church. Show us how to get plugged in. We desperately need, we want to worship. And God says, let's see, who have I got in the vicinity? Pastor Charles, send him over there. Send those folks off to lunch. To me, it's a tapestry, and that God is superintending all of this. There are no mistakes. He sees all that's going on, and he saw you in an advantage position to step in there and answer the prayer of this person. And isn't that just like our Father? He doesn't take a nap and go away. And I remember, you know, all of the times that we prayed and you think, oh, it's just bouncing off the ceiling, but it's not, is it, Pastor?
Oh, it's special. God's listening, no question about that. You know, well, let me do this. Why don't we really get back to basics for a moment? Jim, why don't you briefly describe, you know, where our Thanksgiving concept came from? Where did it start? So tell me about that. Draw from your history
class. Interesting. You take me to a place you want me to focus. Wow. I think of, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is I picture the Indians, I picture the Pilgrims, I picture it being cold. It's the fall of the year. I think of pumpkins and orange and brown and all the and an abundance of food. I think of the first Thanksgiving and how, in reality, these Indians stepped forth and made survival possible. I don't think that was an accident. I think, again, God knew what we needed. We were bringing forth a new nation, and we needed provisions, and God provided that. So I just think of the first Thanksgiving that I remember studying as a young boy, the dress of the Pilgrims. And I never saw the Pilgrims in, you know, jeans and a T-shirt. They were always dressed in those black with the white collars. They were always perfectly dressed. What are your thoughts? What do you think of in Thanksgiving?
Well, you're certainly right. I mean, Mr. Levi hadn't been born yet, so they couldn't wear their jeans that day.
Right. Right.
But, you know, it's interesting to me because, again, you know, we think of Thanksgiving nowadays, we think of opulence, you know, all the trimmings and everything like that. And people who are struggling think and said, what kind of Thanksgiving is this going to be? But go back to that first Thanksgiving and realize that these were the survivors. These are the ones that didn't die off for hunger and disease over that cold, bitter winter when they had first tried to settle in here. And the Thanksgiving time made it more precious because the Indians had come in there and basically provided them with not only resources, but showed them, these are plants you can plant in this climate. These are things that are hardy that you can grow in this environment. And so they met together and they prayed together and they shared the most special thing of all together, which was their faith. And they learned and they developed friendships based on those relationships. Kindness, giving, Christ. Those are the things that brought them together for that first Thanksgiving. And, you know, in fact, before I go further with this, let me go back to Jim. We asked him another question. He says, what's the best memory of Thanksgiving?
I don't know that I have one. I think I've just enjoyed every year, growing up as a kid with family and then having my own family together each year. So I can't point to one in particular or one memory. They've all been blessings, enjoyable. So each year has been good.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. I mean, I'll be honest, I look back, I've had some challenging Thanksgivings, but I've also had the sweet Thanksgivings. And all of them together make life, you know, the good and the challenging and the good and the not so good. But, you know, it's amazing that God has been consistent through all those times. And I've been grateful for that. And this is something I think is curious. You know, there are Texans who will tell you that the first Thanksgiving wasn't in Plymouth Rock. It was, and of course, in Texas. Now, that's just not a Texas thing, however true it might be. But, you know, we think of Plymouth Rock, 1621, Pilgrims, Indians. But what some people in Texas will tell you is the first real Thanksgiving was 20 years earlier in what's presently El Paso, by the Rio Grande, by the way, as we break into song. It says,
yes.
You know, 400 Spaniards showed up there. They were doing exploration, Juan de Onate, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and he's with the Manassas tribe. And so this trading, this time, this travel he did, he got permission under King Philip II for permission to explore and, as the history books say, to Catholicize. In other words, he was taking his Catholic faith there, and he wanted to colonize what he would call New Mexico. And actually, what he was doing is he's coming across the Chihuahuan Desert, a 50-day journey. By the way, I've been in that area. That would be a challenge. It is a true desert, no question about it. provisions begin to run out, and they're providing with just what they can survive when they can find water or rainfall. They had 5 days without water, and they finally come to the banks of the Rio Grande. And so 10 days later, on April 30, in 1598, he decides to celebrate after this scrape with death and the desert travel, and they've arrived at San Elizario, and they have what they call La Toma. And basically he's saying, well, this land belongs to Spain. By the way, we call it Texas, so we don't really go with that. But that's, you know, he was new to the neighborhood. What can I say?
Yeah.
But he does nonetheless have a time where they sit down, they have a bonfire, they roast meat and fish, and they give thanks, a time of celebration. Now, my question for you is this. If that's the real Thanksgiving, I would say it's sort of up to debate. You know, it's certainly one of several occasions as you check our history books and you find that people, after a very rough season, stopped and gave thanks. I think our society today could learn a wonderful lesson from that. But, you know, whether it's Indians, pilgrims, or conquistadors, here's my question. How do we live Thanksgiving before the world and the holy God that we know? Jim, how do we present this heart of Thanksgiving today?
You know, Pastor, just as you were talking about waiting for the pharmacy to open and using that opportunity to witness and to bring someone into the church, I think of just yesterday and other times where something will occur and you get an opportunity to be grateful and you get an opportunity to, as they say today, pay it forward and to demonstrate that you are different. When you come to a saving knowledge of Christ, you're separated and you're pulled out of being what the world is. We are now ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you see someone in need, and I just think of my father years ago, Pastor. Dad worked a lot of nights on the railroad. And so he would be home during the day, and invariably there would be a neighbor come by and say, J.D., I can get my car started. He'd get his battery cables. He'd go down. He'd start their car. J.D., I've got a leak in the faucet. And, you know, and so Dad was always the go-to person. And so Thanksgiving in that concept is absolutely fulfilling other people's needs. You see a need, and you are compelled to be the one that helps and takes care of and provides for those that can't do it for themselves. Right? Is that what you had in mind?
Absolutely. Just an incredible time. You know, in fact, I had a marvelous little note that I got yesterday from a man named Daniel, who is homeless, who is a senior citizen. And you know what his note was?
Yeah.
Homeless Thanksgiving. He says, my wonderful brothers and sisters, please say a prayer for me. I'll be having Thanksgiving dinner with the homeless. He's actually in Miami at this time. And, you know, moves around a little bit just as God provides for him. He says that, you know, he's asking prayer that souls will be saved and transformed during the altar call and during this dinner time. So, isn't it amazing? Out of abundance, that some people can't find peace. And here's a man who's still living on the streets, and he's asking for prayer for people that they might get saved tomorrow, which is now, of course, Thanksgiving Day. And so I just think that's the heart. Here's a man on the streets that has gotten wisdom from God to recognize what's truly important, and that is it's not the stuff, it's not the surroundings, it's people. And that is so powerfully, powerfully important. Sort of flipping the other extreme for just a moment to think about, you know, we mentioned Jerry Martino earlier too, and I asked him the question, well, do you think that the world does a good job with Thanksgiving? After all, they seem to dominate the airways when you turn on the TV set. You know, they're at least telling us about Thanksgiving sales, if not other activities. But here was his answer.
No, no. They leave out God. Even when I'm around family, since I'm a deacon, I always get asked to do the prayer. And I always include something about getting back to Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, back to church. Lead us all to remember where all this comes from. Thank you for the meal and everything you've given us, Lord. And help us all to get back to you, O Christ, and those that are not saved in you, to get to know you in the coming year, and to allow us to get back together next year at the same time, and bless us all throughout the year.
Isn't that great?
Interesting.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I always think of Jerry. Jerry is quick. I remember at my brother's funeral, we were at another funeral, but he came up and talked to me about my brother. And he talked about laying hands on my brother and how that is a powerful way to go beyond human ability. And I just remember Jerry is always quick to see where he can apply what he knows and what he believes about God's providence and how God always provides for us. The challenge, I think, Pastor, is because we're down here and we're being bombarded with all the commercialism, we fail sometimes to see how God is being providential. And I think it's important to have a man like Jerry point these planks of the platform out to us and explain that it's all about Jesus. It's all about God and his love. And I think we could spend, you know, program after program just talking about the love that we cannot even put into words, we can't explain. But I just love the way Jerry gets us back and says, here's what it's all about. It's God's providence. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. That is the focus that we need to hold on to. And he's pretty straightforward there. Does the world do a good job? Nope. You know, but that's the point. Is that it's got to be about God.
Right.
And so I thought this was an interesting thought, too. How do you explain Thanksgiving to someone who's just fresh, new to the country? Because, you know, in a sense, we think of Thanksgiving. We think of the pilgrims coming to America. So in some respects, you could call it an American holiday. So how would he do that? And here's his answer.
Thanksgiving, of course, the pilgrims were thinking finally things went right for them after they landed on Plymouth Rock. And they thanked the Lord for their surviving here in America. They had a rough time. And they were thinking, Lord, that we're still alive. You're providing for us. They were obviously Christian. And that's how it all started. And we need to still think about that. And that's lost in America and the world today.
You know, Pastor, what comes up immediately is that if we read the Bible, we see how the Jewish people strayed from God. And catastrophe would occur. They would cry out to God. He'd come to their rescue. I think of the Calvary, you know, John Wayne leading the Calvary. And we as people, it must be part of our fabric. We seem to you know, when we need God, we are so holy and we are so thoughtful and kind. When we need something, we need God. But then once we have the luxury again, we forget God. And it seems like an endless, never-ending cycle. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, it can be. But let me remind you that I am, you know, half Indian, and so I don't get as thrilled about the thought of the Calvary coming. But you know, not a warm spot in my heart, sorry. But no, that's true. We can become tainted. We can become too casual about the things that we have. We need to remember the focus and to give thanks. Again, as I say, if you're with a large group, that's great. If you're by yourself, that's fine too. I think we've all known moments when we had a crowd around us and yet we felt very alone. So I really want to speak to and address those folks to understand you're not. You don't have to be. It doesn't matter how many people are around you. What matters is how connected you are with our Heavenly Father. That relationship is what is passionate and what is important. Jerry has another comment here about what is the most important thing about
Thanksgiving. Well, we need to, it's overlooked, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. We don't thank Him enough and think about where all this bounty comes from.
And that is the point. So, Jim, let me ask you to do something, as I do in just about every one of our programs. Why don't you give our listeners a chance to come to know Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior? They do not have to face any holiday alone when they have the love of God within their hearts.
I think that's such an important factor. And I also would say, because I was alone for a long time, it's a temporary situation for most of us. And I think there'll be a day when you look back and say, boy, I remember how lonely I was for those years. And now I look over the table and I'm, you know, in a different situation and I'm so thankful. It's temporary. But there may be those tonight that are saying, I don't have anyone I can depend on. I am desperate. I don't know where my next meal's coming from. I feel at the bottom, and it can change in a heartbeat. God gives us full direction, and it's not direction that you have to be a pastor or PhD like Charles. It can be as simple as a guy like me that can read and understand simple English. It says in chapter 10 of the book of Romans, we use this because there's no way to mistake this. This is clear, direct from God. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, how simple can that be? I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Lord, I have sinned against you. I want to confess that sin. I want to say, I am sorry. I've gone the wrong way. I realize now that I confess. And he's not like I am. He doesn't make you grovel. He doesn't make you beg. He forgives you. When it's a sincere confession, God forgives you instantly. Then he does something that we're incapable of. He tells us he puts that sin as far from him as the east is from the west, and then get this, remembers it no more. I may forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did. God remembers it no more. He goes on in the next verse, and the latter part of that verse, and says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He says in verse 9 that once we confess and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Now that speaks volumes. It's saying that when you confess your sin, God forgives you, and he is the one that raised Jesus from the dead. That means that we have victory over death. This time on earth is temporary. So if you go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, you will know how to be saved. And we believe if you pray and ask God to forgive you today and ask him to come into your life, the Holy Spirit enters into you and indwells you, and you become a child of the living God. And Pastor, if they've done that tonight, we would love to get an email from you at ask@askthepastornow.com. You can send us an email and say, hey guys, I just got saved according to what you told us in the Bible. But Pastor, what if they got saved today based on those two scriptures, and next week they completely mess up, they do something to be ashamed of that is just indelible? Have they lost their salvation? Can they lose that salvation that they gained tonight?
Absolutely not. I mean, just remember, first of all, you're not the one who gave salvation. God did. And so the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, period. And so, no, you cannot lose it. The Bible says that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, the stuff that we don't know about next week, no, can separate us from the love of God. It just can't happen. So you say, well, what does happen when I sin? I said, well, then you confess and ask him to forgive you, because he wants to cleanse and restore the relationship. So anything that happens after salvation doesn't keep you from going to heaven. It does impact relationship. You want to be able to know that you can easily communicate with God. So we seek his forgiveness on an ongoing basis. And we don't try to sin. We don't try to mess up. But when we do, we also want to take steps to get it right and get his forgiveness. I was related to two people who are family members. You know, if you're family, you can't stop being family. You can stop talking to each other. You can start to put walls up because you go in different directions. But you can also take steps to get the walls back down again and restore the friendship, the relationship. But you're still family, even when you were separated. And that's what happens when we let sin, as Christians, get into our lives. We start affecting the communication. We feel the distance. So take the walls back down and come connected one more time. Let me jump back to Jerry one last time and ask him the question, how do you observe Thanksgiving?
Family. Get together with family. If I don't have anything to do with family, I'll go to a church function here at the church. Some Sunday school class always has something for people who have nowhere to go. But being around family, that's important.
And by the way, that thought of no place to go, don't make that sound desperate. That's not what it is. Because what you didn't hear is they did have a place to go. They still have people that understand, you know, walk the similar path and put God first. And so, again, I say, if you're with family, be grateful, be thankful, but don't obsess on the crowd, the noise, the hectic side of it. Be grateful for the fact that you are together. If you find yourself alone from family, but together with other people that share your values and your beliefs, and you want to come together and celebrate Thanksgiving that way, do so and give God the glory. And if you are truly alone, maybe you're in a hospital bed, maybe it's just you're traveling, maybe you're on a place that's far, far from home doing what you have to do, well then, guess what? God still loves you. Enjoy the time of Thanksgiving, just the two of you, you and God. I guess that'll actually be all four of you together, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons. You're never alone.
Yes.
And maybe, just this thought, maybe you're feeling alone in the sense that you've gone off into the world, that you had a family and you feel very distant from them. Understand that God truly still loves you. The prodigal son came to himself, and when he came to himself, he then came back to family, came back to God. So I submit to you, you haven't run so far that God doesn't still love you, and he still welcomes you home. And you'd be surprised at the number of people that are welcoming and waiting to love on you. So don't let it defeat you. Don't let it discourage you. Let Thanksgiving Day be the day you turn back to God, turn back to family, and find out what it really means to be loved. And so we thank you, and let this day be a truly, truly special day, and maybe a fresh start day, where all the life in front of you will be very, very special. Jim, thank you for spending this time. Thank you for having Thanksgiving with the listeners and me. Really appreciate that.
Thank you, Pastor, for teaching us. We are very thankful to have you at the helm. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time,